If you'll turn with us in your Bibles, and we're not going to stay here long. This is not going to be our lesson text. It's going to get us set up for our lesson text. But if you'll turn with us to the first chapter of the book of Acts. And I say all of those things to tell you this morning. That the Lord is coming back. People have, for a long time, they have been debating on when it would be, how it would be, where it might happen. I'm going to tell you this morning, I can't tell you the particulars about the when and the where, but I can tell you this for great certainty, that the Lord is coming back. I don't know when it'll be, you don't know when it'll be, but I can say this morning that the Bible tells us that He will return, and I believe that if He told us that He will make it happen someday after a while, I believe that. I believe that with everything that is within me. Acts, the first chapter in the 9th verse, says this, "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing upward into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go to heaven." And I want you to turn with us, and we may come back to those verses in a little while, but they're going to be something that will set us up this morning. But I want to read in your hearing the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. We're going to read the first 13 verses out of it. It's an interesting few verses. The 24th and the 25th chapter are dealing with the coming of the Lord. It tells us that He's coming back. And I don't understand this morning why people don't believe that He's coming back. But I do believe that He's coming back. And I'm thankful that the Lord shall return someday to gather His children home. I want to make this preface this morning before I get started. I am not a premillennialist. I believe that when God comes back, that's it. I believe you had better make your preparations now before the Lord comes back, because on that day there'll be no more time for you. Revelations in 20 speaks of a lot of things, but that does not speak about the premillennial reign. I believe that when God comes back, you had better have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because time will be over. We have time now, but time soon shall end. We've been living in the end times since the Lord ascended back to heaven. I believe that. I believe that He's been preparing His return since then. And I don't believe He's been there very long. The Bible says that 1,000 days as is a day with the Lord. So I'm inclined to believe that He hasn't been there all that long. But I believe His return is imminent for every person that has ever been born. And someday this world will pass away. And I guess if I had to give you a theme this morning, it would be, make your preparations now for the Lord's return, because He's coming back. And what a thought that is. You know, we have read many times in your hearing about a Savior who came from heaven. He was born in a manger, and how He was born in such a way that it was lowly estate. But someday He will return to this earth. He'll never step foot back on this earth. King that He is. I believe that. And I believe when He returns, the whole world will know that the King has come back. That the King is here, and the King is here to call those that have been saved by the grace of God out of this world. And those that have been, those that are lost and undone without the Lord, hell will be their home. And that's going to be a sad, sad day for a lot of people. Oh, but it should be a happy day for those of us that have been born again. You know, I believe, and I preached a few weeks ago, that death is sure. And death is sure for every one of us. But if you don't die in this world, the Lord will come again. There's two ways out. You can die in this world, or the Lord can return and take you out of here. That's the two options this morning. I want to read these verses in your hearing, if the Lord will be our helper. Start with the first verse. of the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so.' And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather for them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" This passage of Scripture is one that I guess has confounded a lot of people. Some might believe that it's talking about the bride and the church, and in some ways it is. But I believe it's talking about those that have not been prepared for the Lord to come again. I want to say this morning, and I was thinking earlier this week and on the way down here, you know, if we all knew when the Lord was coming back, we'd all make preparations. I believe if the Lord painted in the sky a time clock and He said, 6 days from now, I'm coming back, so you'd better be ready, the world would be making preparations. The Bible tells us, and there have been many preachers for years and years and years that have gone up to old pulpits and they've told people, make your preparations now to meet God. They've done that. I've heard it. I've heard this message preached many times in many different places by many different men, and people will say, "Well, guess what, preacher? It's still not happened." I'm going to say today, I don't know when it's going to happen. But I'm going to say also that it can happen in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. It can happen faster than you can snap your fingers. The Lord is coming back. I want to make this very clear this morning that coming soon is the Lord. It could be today, it could be tomorrow. I don't know exactly when the Bible says that He'll come, because it never tells us. The Lord says that nobody knows the day nor the hour. It says, "Watch therefore. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You know, it saved people too. I thought about this week. If I were to say that we never meet again as a church, before next Sunday morning came, the Lord would come again. If I told you next Saturday night at 11:59, that would be it for all of us. We'd all be doing some things probably different. We'd all be making different preparations. If we'd not gone to church like we should have, we'd sure be regretting that. Because I'm going to say today, us as saved people, we need to prepare to meet the Lord as well. Amos says, "O Israel, prepare to meet thy God." I've never face to face met the Lord. Oh, but I have sure felt the Lord many times. The first time I ever felt Him was the day that He drew me for the first time. And He let me know that I was lost and undone without Him. I believe that's the first time that we ever come in contact with the Lord. I believe before that we're kept under the age of accountability, and I believe He watches over our lives and protects us and makes sure that we're all right. But there will come a day in every person's life that they become accountable for their sins. And that day God begins to draw them. That's the first contact that I ever had, the first time that He ever let me know that I was lost and undone without Him. And from that day forward, I needed to be saved. Now I'm going to say this as well. In that time that I was lost and and undone without him, he could have returned. And I could have died. I could have been just done away with. I could have been like those foolish virgins who were not prepared to meet their God. You see, those that were prepared, they had enough oil that would take their lamps into the place that they were going for the marriage. I believe the marriage is going to take place yonder in heaven. I believe someday, after a while, this world as we know it, it shall pass away. There not be what we see before us today. It won't be like that. But I do believe this. I believe there is a place made for those that have been saved by God's grace. I believe there's a place made for those who have not been saved, but the Bible tells us that it was not made for them. It was made for the devil and his angels, but because of their unbelief, that's the place that they will go. Now, I want you to think about that this morning. If I told you there were 6 days before the Lord's coming back, and don't you leave out of here today and say the preacher said all there is 6 days, because there'll be news trucks out here before I can get out of the parking lot saying there's another person that has claimed to know when the Lord's coming back. I don't know, but I can tell you this. He's coming back. All I can do for you today is tell you and know for a fact that He's coming back, and I can help you realize that. And then guess what? You've got to be the one to make preparations. Saved people, we're not out of the clear either. We've got to prepare to meet the Lord. Why, if the Lord told you today, I'm going to your house, what would you say if He said, I'm coming to meet you physically today? What would we say? If the Lord should return today and find every single one of us, what kind of condition would He find us in? He'd find me in a saved condition. He sure would. But I'm going to tell you, before He returns, I'd want to have my life together the best that I can have it, because I'm going to say also, when the Lord returns, as we've talked about the bridegroom, there's going to be a bride that's going to be made from those that have been members of His church. Not every member is going to make it. Revelation says, those that are worthy shall walk with Him in white. And I believe very much, those of us that have been saved, we should strive every day to the best of our ability to get into the bride of Christ. We need to be prepared. Because when He comes, there's not going to be another opportunity for us to work and serve the Lord and try to get into the bride. I don't believe anybody down here knows if they're going to be in the bride. But I do believe this. I believe we've got to strive with the Lord and serve Him with everything that we have. I believe the Lord loves His church. I do believe He loves it. And I believe He wants everybody that can be to be in His bride. But I'm going to say we're not all going to make it, so we'd better prepare. But you lost friends? The bride is the least of your concerns at the moment. If you're lost and undone without the Lord, you need to seek God for salvation. Because what we're talking about here in these verses is something very, very different. We're talking about the God of all creation and Jesus Christ splitting the sky. And as I was coming off the ridge, they're passing Greenbrier this morning coming down on I-65. You get to a spot and you can look out over and you can see the exits, and there's just a big clearing of the sky that you can see. And I just, in my mind's eye, tried to picture what it might look like if the Lord were to descend and say, time's up. I'm going to tell you some things that I believe are going to take place on that day. The Bible tells us, and over in the 24th verse of the 24th chapter, or the 4th verse of the 24th chapter of Matthew, Jesus was talking to His disciples, and He said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and they shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now I've heard all of my life, and no doubt you have too. In the end, we'll not be able to tell when seasons begin running into each other. The Bible tells us that nobody knows the day that the Lord shall return. But He does give us some very clear instructions and very clear warnings about when the Lord comes back. And I don't believe this morning that we can look out in nature and say, well, the Lord's coming back in a few days because of this thing and that thing. He tells us very plainly in the Bible the things that we shall see. And He doesn't tell us the day because it's in the Bible that He shall come as a thief in the night. If you had known the thief was coming, you would have made preparations. I'm going to say today that He's giving the whole entire world a long time to prepare for His coming. And someday He shall return, and it'll be like a thief in the night. We'll be watching, and I believe many people are watching today about when the Lord is coming back. I saw something a few weeks ago, and this has been weighing heavily on me, this thought, this message about the Lord coming back. I saw something a few days ago, and somebody else has tried to predict when the Lord's coming back. I remember it was 2006, and I was in middle school. And if you remember, that year was the year it was supposed to be the sixth month and the sixth day and the sixth year. It was supposed to be 666. And I remember sitting in the library one day with a group of kids my age, and they said, well, do you think on that day, and it was supposed to be summer when that was coming, and this was toward the end of the school year, and they looked around and they said, well, do you believe on that day the Lord's coming back? And I said, no, I don't. And they said, well, that's supposed to be the mark of the beast, and I'm going to say today, the mark of the beast is something far different than just a number on a calendar. And they said, well, don't you think that the Lord will return on that day? I said, no. Because I said, the Bible says that no man knows the day, not even the hour. So I'm convinced today that there's not one person that has the mind of God to be able to say, this is the day that God is coming back. I'm going to say we're going to let God be in charge of that one. We don't need people to be trying to question that. But what we do need to do is be prepared. I told you I was going to tell you some things that I believe that were going to happen before the Lord come back. We're going to go back to Revelations in 20. And many people today will look at that and they'll say, well, and I told you, me and Revelations, we get kind of crossed up sometimes, but this is my interpretation of it, and I feel good about it. I've prayed about it for a few weeks, and I've asked the Lord to open it up and to show me, Lord, what do those things mean? Because the world has taken those things and they have crossed them up in a way that it's deceiving many into believing that they'll have one more opportunity to be saved. That's not what the Scriptures say. It tells us that there will be an angel that will descend with the key, and he'll have the thing to tie the devil up. He'll have some kind of apparatus to tie the devil up. And I'm going to say today that that does not mean that the devil is not alive. I believe the devil is very much alive today. And he's roaming about to deceive those that he can get. And you say, preacher, if he's going to be bound, won't he have no control? I'm going to say today, we serve a God that bounds or binds the devil. The Lord holds that rope in His hand. He holds the chain in His hand. He holds everything in His hand.
And I believe he even holds the little devil in his hand too. And so I believe the devil has his powers. And I believe he's going about still to deceive many. But you know what? Every time he gets close to trying to destroy what God has made, he pulls that rope in just a little bit more. And he says, you can't have my church and you can't have my people. Because if he thought he could get away with it, he would. But he goes on to talk about that he'd be bound and thrown into a bottomless pit. And I'm going to say today, there's many things that could be. But I believe very much that he has those that are working for him to do his bidding. I believe the devil has many people, has many other authorities about him that are going about to try to deceive many. You talk about some false prophets that are coming out. We read for you in your hearing. I believe those are from the devil going about to claim Christ in their name, but having no idea who Christ is. Amen. I believe that. I believe the devil has those kind of powers. You say, preacher, how does this go along with making preparations? If you'll hang with me for a few minutes, I'll get there. I'm going to say today that it says he shall deceive the nations no more. If you want to turn over there in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, I want to get it right this morning. And it says that he shall have 1,000 years. I want to debunk something this morning. When we look at Revelations, we've got to look at it from a historical and a futuristic outlook. And you say, preacher, that sounds pretty ridiculous to think you've got to look something historic and something with future tenses. But you do. Some of these things have come to pass and some of them shall come to pass. I believe that. Amen. If you want my honest opinion, I believe we're in that today. I believe we're living in a day and time when the devil doesn't have the kind of power that he'd like to have. We talk about Job. The Lord said, you can have my servant Job, but he said, you cannot kill him. You cannot take his soul. You can do whatever you want to him, but you cannot have his soul. And so the devil did everything imaginable to Job to try to get his soul. But he couldn't get it. The devil would sure like to have those powers today. And people say, well, when the 1,000 years happens, they take these verses of Scripture and they'll say, when the 1,000 years happen, there'll be 1,000 years, a literal 1,000 years of peace and happiness and joy. But they say that. I'm convinced that when the Lord returns, you and I are getting out of here. I believe that those that have been saved by the grace of God, we won't want to stick around. We'll be going to heaven. Those that are lost, you're going to hell. There's not going to be any playtime in between that. If we believe that this was a literal 1,000 years, we'd have to say that God's coming back one time, and then He's going to reign here on earth, and then He's going to go back to heaven, and I don't believe that. I believe that the next time He comes, He's coming for you and I. If you want my honest opinion on what this 1,000 years really is, it's not a literal 1,000 years. It's just a time span, a long time span that God has set in the Bible. The Lord does that. Told you when I first started, the Bible says that 1,000 years is a day, and a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord. So I believe in our minds and in our lives, it's a really long time. And I'm going to say today, it's been a long time since the Lord went back. A little over 2,000 years ago, the Lord ascended back to heaven to go and be with the Lord, God. And it talks about, in the few verses that follow those, about those that have died in the faith, of those that have gone on to be with the Lord, those that are reigning with the Lord right now. I told you, there will be many that have died, many that were martyred, or for the way that we believe today as old-time missionary Baptists, they've died for the faith. There will be many, I believe, that will continue to die in the faith of the saints that God has left here. I believe that. And I believe they shall reign with Him. until he returns back. Talks about a first resurrection. You want to talk about a first resurrection? When the Lord came out of the grave, that was a resurrection. And you want to know what happens to us when we get saved? We die to sin and we're born in a new life, in a new creation that God has made. Talk about a first resurrection. It is in the like manner of what Jesus went through. Now, I'm going to say today, we didn't go into a tomb and we didn't come out of a tomb physically. But our bodies, our souls, they went through a physical change. They went through a change that you cannot describe any other way except it died to sin and was born in a new life. The second death hath no power. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Those that are in hell have died the second death. But those of us that have been saved will never know anything about that second death that hell has for them. We'll never know anything about it. And I believe that. But he goes on to say, those that are with him, they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And again, I believe that that means a very long time. How many of you all have ever lived 1,000 years? Raise your hand. Good, I didn't think there was going to be one of you. I was hoping I wouldn't get a hand raised on that one. But I'm going to say today, we've never lived 1,000 years in this world. We'll never know physically what it's like to live 1,000 years. But I believe it's a really long time that the Lord has said. We go back to the third verse and we find something happens to the old devil. It says he's loosed for a little season. People today say this is the worst times that we've ever been in. I'm going to disagree with you. I believe times past have been really bad before. And I believe before God comes back, they'll be bad again. There'll be people that will be martyred again for the Lord's cause. I believe that. Because if we go on to look, it says the devil's going to go. He's going to be loosed out of his prison. Where's his prison? The Lord has it all around him. And someday he's going to be loosed out of those chains. And you know the first person he's going to go after, the first entity that he's going to go after? The church. I believe in those last days that God is going to go after, the devil is going to go after the church so strongly that people will be martyred again for the Lord's cause. You want to talk about wars and rumors of wars and things of that nature? In that day when the devil has those chains loosed off of him, it's going to be bad for this world. Amen. I hope and pray that I'm not around. And people say, well, we're not in that time yet. I'm going to say today we're in the evening of time. I believe that. I believe we're getting down close to when the devil's going to be loose and he's going to have some power again to do things to people that are going to just worry us to death. And I believe there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. And you say, preacher, I don't want to hear that this morning. I don't want to think about that this morning. But I want you to know the truth and the things that will happen. Because as I told you, and I want to get back before I close, and I don't mean to take a whole lot of your time this morning, but this is a subject that must be preached. It's something that must be addressed by God's people.
Amen.
It must be. The reason I preach this, the reason I go through the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation is to show you that someday the Lord's coming back. And I want you to be prepared. Because in this last day, the devil's going to go to his rightful place. I want to say this also. The devil knows exactly where he's going. And he wants everybody he can to go with him. You think he wants to go down there alone to burn forever and ever and ever? Why, sure he don't. He'd love for everybody that has ever been born to go right there with him to suffer and torment with him. And brothers and sisters, there's going to be a whole lot that'll go. For those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, this should make us wake up to the fact that we have a short time to get our lost loved ones in. We do. You say, preacher, we may all die before this happens. And you're right. But guess what? Life is like a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. Even if we all die before the Lord comes back, we had better be getting our lost friends and loved ones in. Because hell is real. And there's a heaven to gain. And I want to get there if the Lord's going to help us. In the 9th verse of the 20th chapter, it says this: and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints. Those that are in His church. And the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. He's going to try one last time. He's going to make one last ditch effort to go and get the church. But the Bible says that He won't. He tells us over in the Gospels. He says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Brothers and sisters, I believe that's a promise that was made a long time ago. And I believe it will hold true until He gets us. I believe that. It says He is going to devour them. The God is God out of heaven. The fire will rain down from God out of heaven and devour them. And in this, you want to talk about the victory being won at Calvary. It's because of all of that that we get here. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He's not getting out of that place. And He already knows that. He already knows just exactly where His place will be. And it scares Him to death. I know it does. Many of you all, and I know I have, we've had our run-ins with the devil. And he seems like a big old bully. And most people want to paint him with spikes on his head and a pointy tail. The devil looks really good to this world. He goes about to deceive many things. He's deceived God's own people into believing false truths. That's the kind of devil, that's the kind of cunning liar that he is. But it says someday he shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And then this is where I want to get with the wise and the foolish virgins. These next few verses. This is where we've come down to the end of time. The trump of God has sounded. Time has ceased to exist. The world is done. Time is up. It's over. What's done is done. You better be prepared at this point. Amen. When the Lord splits the eastern sky, the Bible says that there will be many that will be running for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Have you ever begged and cried for a rock and a mountain to fall on you? I haven't. Never been in that kind of shape. But someday, people will run from God so much that they'll be begging for anything to hide them. And guess what's going to hide them? Not one thing. Amen. You know what hides me today? The blood of Christ that has been hid on my soul. That's what hides me in the rock of ages. I'll not need a mountain or rock to fall on me, because I'm going to meet my Savior. I'll tell you this. I remember when I was growing up and I was lost. My bed used to be placed against the window. And I remember going home from revivals. And I remember looking out the window saying, Lord, not tonight. I'm still lost. Please, not tonight. And I would lay there all night long just asking, Lord, please don't come back. Please give me one more opportunity to be saved. Because I could just see, I'd heard Him preach. The stars would begin to fall. And the moon would turn to blood. The trump was going to sound. I would lay there in the still of the night and I would listen for the trumpet, because I thought, if I hear that trumpet, I'm lost, and that's all it's ever going to be for me. I could just hear the trump sounding. I remember being outside as a young boy. And I remember looking up at the clouds a lot of times. And I would think, oh, they look like God's about ready to come back. It would scare me to death. People today need to realize that the Lord is coming back. It needs to scare lost people. People say, I don't want to be scared. brothers and sisters, our lost need to be scared, because this day is coming and it's not going to be a good day. So we've gotten down to the trump of God sounding. The stars have fallen. He's descending back. The archangel has declared time is finished. People are begging and crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. And guess what? They're not going to do it. They won't hide them anymore. In the 11th verse of the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation says this, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, and whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." He's talking about the beast, the false prophet, and the devil. There was no place for them. And I saw, and he's talking about heaven and the earth and how they fled away and how they had been done away with. I believe this world that we're living in, this earth that we live on, will be destroyed with fire and with brimstone. It shall pass away. It will not be like it is today. Amen. It says, "And I saw the dead, small and great." Paul told them over in Thessalonica, he said, "Be not dismayed," or "Don't be discouraged, don't be upset, because you're not going to prevent those that are dead and asleep in the grave." You want to read over in 1 Thessalonica, I believe it's the 4th chapter. He says, "But be not dismayed. Those that are asleep in the grave, they're coming out of those graves." Have you ever thought, and I've thought about this many times, you ever thought about being beside an old graveyard when the Lord comes back and seeing those old bodies come out of those graves? I don't necessarily know that you'll have time to witness those things. People have made remarks and they said, "Well, I don't want to get behind this person on that day, and I don't want to get behind this person," all that stuff. It's not going to be like that. It will happen so quick. It's going to take place in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. "Those that are alive and remain, they shall be changed." Brothers and sisters, it's going to happen before we know what's going on. But I'm still going to say, you better be prepared. The 12th verse says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." Now, I want to explain what I believe the books are. I believe the books are the works of those that have lived in this world. It says books. I don't believe there's going to be one volume that's going to last for every person. I believe every deed, both small and great, will be recorded in those books. I do. And it says they're going to be opened. Another book was opened. Another book. No S. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." And hell there is not the hell that you know as far as the burning hell. We're talking about a hell that's the grave. The Greek oftentimes refers to hell as the grave. So I believe hell, or the grave, is going to give up its dead. Paul thought the same thing. And said, "And they were judged, every man according to their works, out of the books. And it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And said, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So our works will be judged out of the books. And he's going to find all of us guilty. Every single one of us, based off of our works, do not deserve to go to heaven. We don't. What's written there, if you could get down to Taylor Gregory, boy, it would be a football field long, and you wouldn't want to read all the things that are in there. I don't want to hear all of the things, but I've done them, both great and small. He's going to look. He's going to see. And you know what every single one of us are going to deserve? Hell. And then he's going to open that other book. And that's the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know who's found there? Those that have been delivered. Those that have been redeemed by God. Those that have a time and a place where God has saved them. Amen. He's going to go down through there. And I believe with everything in me, we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single one of us. And we're going to be judged according to our works. And there will be people that will be begging God, Lord, would you please just look one more time. Lord, just look and find my name. He's going to look and he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. And those that have been saved by the grace of God, oh, he's going to say, your name is found. I found a record of your birth. Here's where the blood was applied. I've got a record of it. I believe somewhere in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's a recording of July 14th, 2004. When I got saved by the grace of God at Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church. I believe that. I believe there's a record. And I believe, and of course I'm backwards to you all, but I believe the sheep are going to be on his right. And I believe the goats, the unsaved, they're going to be on his left. And we'll be over here. We'll know that we're going to heaven. And there'll be those that are lost and undone without the Lord. And you'll say, depart, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. And they'll be cast. It doesn't say they'll be gently placed. It doesn't say that they'll be put off down there. It says they will be cast into the lake of fire. Why, preacher? Because of their unbelief. I'm going to say today that every person that does not believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ deserves hell. I deserve hell. But because of what God done for me, I can stand on the right hand of the Father and I can go with Him to glory someday after a while.
Amen.
We go back to the first lesson, first part of our lesson. The wise and the foolish virgins. Oh, those that thought that they were saved, they had their lamps. Jewish custom was for them to go with the bridegroom. If you didn't have a lamp and it wasn't burning, you weren't a part of the bridegroom party. So you're saying, preaching, lose your salvation? Not a bit. But I sure do believe there's going to be a whole lot that really believe that they're going to make it. And they're not going to. They're not going to be prepared to meet the God. And they're going to go and they'll try. They're going to go for the rocks and the mountains to hide them. And then they'll come back and they'll say, Lord, Lord, open to us. Lord, Lord, find my name. Lord, just look one more time, please. Give me one more opportunity. And he's going to say, I know you not. What a sad thought that is. It's sad. But for those of us that are on the right hand, we've got a better home waiting for us someday after all. Those that are on the right hand of the Father, we're going to a land where there's going to be no sorrow, no hurt, no cries, crying, no tears. The Bible says He shall wipe every tear from our eye. And you know what I guess I'm looking forward to behind seeing Jesus, the one who died for me? The first thing I hear people sing about it and preach about and all those things, the first thing that I want to do is I want to see the Lord. I want to go kneel down and I want to worship Him for saving my soul. I do. And then you know something else those that have been saved get to do that the angels themselves can't even do. They'll sing the new song of the redeemed. We sing a lot of beautiful songs down here. But there's not a song that will ever be like the song of the redeemed. Because we're going to be the ones who knows what it's been like to go from nature to grace. We're going to know what it's been like to be redeemed by the blood. The angels know nothing about it.
Amen.
Oh, but we will. There's going to be a marriage. It's going to take place. It's going to be a beautiful marriage. I hope and pray that I make it into the bride. Now, I'm going to heaven. You can just mark that down, say that Taylor said it. I'm going when I leave this world. But I hope and pray I make it in the bride. But if I don't, oh, it'll be all right. Because I'm still going to be there. And it's still going to be a marriage ceremony of the Lord and His church. It's going to be a wonderful day.
Amen.
You know, I have heard, and I had to sit through something a few weeks ago that dealt with the thousand-year millennial reign, and I'm going to tell you just exactly why I don't believe it. Number one, when the Lord returns, time's going to be over. Those of us who have been saved, and people will run over to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, and they'll say, well, there's one taken, one left. You know what that's signifying? The magnitude of how fast it's going to be. People are going to be wondering, well, where did they go? It's going to happen so quick that we won't even really have an idea of what's going on around us. We'll know that the Lord's coming back. But it's going to happen quickly. But I don't believe that. I don't believe there's going to be a thousand-year reign. Because I believe when God comes back, He's coming to get His children. And why in the world, how in the world, could people get saved if there's nobody here to preach the gospel to them? Tell them about salvation. Because if people believe in the rapture, they believe the church is gone, those who have been saved are gone, who's going to preach the gospel? The Bible says, how shall they hear except a preacher be sent to preach the gospel? There's got to be a preacher. There's got to be somebody. All the saved are gone. And I want to say this today. If the Lord gave everybody a second chance, if He gave everybody in hell a second chance, and He gave everybody that was living a second chance, how many people do you think would be in hell? You said zero, none. Every single one of them would make it right. But our God is just in what He does. He tells us to prepare. He's given us ample opportunity to make things right. Oh, I pray. I pray that everything in you, that you're right today, save people. I hope and pray that you're right where you need to be. I do. I pray that. We need to be right with the Lord. I believe saved people can be out of sync with the Lord just as much as I believe anything else. I believe we can lose the joy of our salvation. Don't be found in that condition when the Lord comes back. Be found close to the Lord. Get in shape today. If you're saved, if you're lost, you need to be saved. I told you, no man knows the day, not even the hour, that the Lord's coming back. You say, preacher, they've preached it a long time. And they have. And I'll guarantee you this. They will preach the same message that I'm preaching today until the Lord comes back. Paul obviously knew. Those that were his disciples, they were worried about the end times and he hadn't even ascended yet. If they thought it was then, how much closer are we today? I believe it's nigh at the doors. I told you this, and I want to close with this thought. I read those verses of Scripture in Acts to get started. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing upward? For the same Jesus that you saw go away shall return in like manner. I don't know about you all, but I've never seen anybody just ascend into heaven. So I probably would have been standing gazing upward. I probably would have had my mouth dropped and just in amazement at what was going on. Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing upward? Don't look upward. He's coming back in the same way that He went away. I'm going to tell you what the underlying message is in that. You keep going forward. You keep pressing forward because He went away, but He's coming again. He told us in John 14, He says, I go to prepare your place there that I am, ye may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He went away to prepare a place for us. And brothers and sisters, it's going to be a wonderful place someday. Are you ready today? Saved and lost. Are you ready? Say, preacher, I got it. All right. If you're all right, God bless your heart. If you're lost, you need to be saved. If you're saved and you need to get close to the Lord, if 6 days was all we had, you'd be really worried about these next 6 days trying to get in shape with the Lord. What would you do? May God bless you is our prayer while we stand and while we sing.